This is the national broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he mentioned the term dress. D-R-E-S-S, dress. And I've heard him tell us, that is, tell the congregation, the body. And I've heard him tell also educated persons who are questioning him. This, he said, well, my job is mainly to dress our people up. He say, I have to put them in a new dress. That's what he said. One of the people, educated people, young man, who was doing his thesis, a dissertation for his Ph.D. degree, he was from Africa, named Asin Yasin Udum. He wrote a book on the followers of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Very important book, I thought. He said that he understood the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's main work to be guiding his people to a cultural life. Cultural life. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad would put it in this sense. He would say, dress them up. I'm trying to dress them up. So actually, men of great insight, especially, I should say men and women, of great insight, especially in religious knowledge, they understand even our flesh on our bones to be a dress, to be a clothing. That's not the real self. The real self is what's under the clothing. Our feelings, our thinking, that the clothing encases. Yes? Our mind and our feelings that the flesh encases. So they see the flesh itself as a clothing. That's the understanding they get when they study God's words to his prophets and messengers on how he formed or how God formed human life. That the real life is the inner body, not the flesh body that houses the inner body. That's spiritual. Not spiritual in the sense of Negro spirituals or black spirituals. Spiritual in the sense that it is the life that is intelligent, that is moral, and that is aspiring. Always wanting to be better. An aspiring life. Aspiring for greater situation, for a better situation, for better, bigger and better opportunities, etc. So it's the life in that's the more valuable life, and that's the life that's truer to the identity of the life form that we call human life. That we call human life. This is very important, especially for people who lost or are missing a continuous lifeline that came from people of identity with land. Africans with African land. Igbo with Igbo land. Hausa with Hausa land. Huh? African people, African families, African tribes who identify with their land and have a history that they can read and reconnect if they go to Mexico or to New York as a child and lose that knowledge. They can get their books on their people and get that knowledge right back and get back in step with their lifeline. But we can't get back in step with our lifeline because it's been so completely severed and lost, there's no possible way to get it back. And we have gotten now a new lifeline. And it has become so valuable in our soul that really the soul won't even let us try to connect again with a life that's before this one. You hear me? Yes. Bad circumstances sometimes produce wonderful things, precious things. And a comparison is made of a blacksmith who heats the metals, burn the metals, make them lose their shape and form, and they become formless or shapeless. They become liquid, taking the shape of whatever's holding them, or the container that the liquid is in. They lose their shape and have to take the shape of whatever's holding them. But the blacksmith is not through there. He just reduced it down to zero. So he can begin working on it again. He's going to make something better than it was before. So eventually he makes a beautiful ornament, or he makes a beautiful weapon out of something that you would just pass by and kick aside on the road, huh? Or say, hey, that's worthless. But he picked it up and he melted it down, took it out of its form that it was in, so it could be put into another form. That's exactly what slavery has done to our soul. It melted, it burned and tortured our soul until it melted all the precious elements in our soul. Melted them all. But in melting it, it brought the dross up to the top. The impurities came up to the top. That stuff put on us by white supremacy all floated to the top. And when we stood up in our new form, in our new body, that stuff just peeled off and cracked up and fell to the ground. And here we are, a shining new metal. A shining new metal. Yes. With Frederick Douglass in our thinking. Huh? With W.E.B. Du Bois in our thinking. Yes. With Booker T. Washington in our thinking. Carter G. Woodson in our thinking. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in our thinking. Yes. Big ideas in our thinking. And we look back and say, ho, God, were you the one preparing me to be this new creature? Did you just use that stupid white man to melt me down so I could get back up like this? Thank you, God. The angel whispered from heaven, you black folks, would you like to go back to Africa? Hell no! Hell no! What we've discovered here, hell no! We don't want to go back. You realize that once you were so anxious to stay there, you jumped off the ship that they had you on and you drowned yourselves in the water, thousands upon thousands of you, jumped overboard and killed yourself? You tell me you don't want to go there now? Hell no! I'm happy right here in the United States of America. Well, my life started again in a fiery furnace of plantation slavery. And God was overseeing my burning. And he lifted me up, cooled me off, precious shining metal. Yes. Allahu Akbar. So what is that to tell you? That when people go to the extreme of erasing, removing from the soul's awareness its form and picture that God wanted for it, God intervenes. God intervenes. And another thing, when people lie in the name of God and make people believe that what they're saying actually came from God, God in time intervenes. And God will bring the victims of the lie to know the truth. Yes? And God will be their friend and comforter. Oh, yes. That's what has happened to those black leaders, or African-American leaders, who have been sincere and true to themselves, to their God, and to their people. God has made his presence known to them, and they knew that we would survive till the time come when we could get ourselves situated to not only survive, but to prosper with everybody else in this America. They knew it, and you need to be told that again. And our leaders need to become aware of that again. They are nothing but little children, lost from their adult parents, who taught us the right way, and situated us for a good future. They need to be connected again with their parents so they can stop being children trying to lead children. And the time is here, and more I'm seeing signs of new leaders coming on the scene. New leaders coming on the scene. Now, freedom we have. But if we don't have the right mind, this freedom can be very harmful. Freedom is only good for people in their right senses. A person not situated right in their own mind will not know what freedom really is for. Freedom for conscious people is not the freedom to do anything good or bad. Freedom for conscious people is the freedom to do things to better your life now and for the future. It's harmful to tell people they're free and knowing that they don't have the sense to understand what you're talking about. Knowing that they'll say, oh, free? That means I do what I please. God says he has not made any human being and left that human being alone to do as it pleases. God says that. He said he has put over every human person a watcher to watch us, to record our behavior, and to credit us with our good actions, and to write down our bad actions so that our bad actions eventually punish us. Yes. And he'll put over us a writer to record angels. You may not believe in angels. I do. Put over us angels to record what we're doing, to watch over us, to even support us against the things that are too big and too difficult for us to manage. When we are being right, or when we are innocent, maybe being wrong, but innocent, he gave us these angels as guardians over us, that no soul is left alone. No soul is without a guardian watching over it. Believe these things, even if you can't understand them fully with your mind. You know, if an ignorant person had nothing to help it but what his mind could understand, it sure wouldn't have a chance. Not even in the little town that I live in called Markham. Wouldn't have a chance. It's only because there are people who care and a society that wants its citizens educated, etc., and protected, their rights protected, that such a poor soul have a chance to live and prosper in the world with other people. So never think that a small mind of an average person is a protection for that person or for that person's family or for that person's friends, and not to even mention the neighborhood or the society that we live in or a part of. No. We have to get away from this idea that, oh, it's me. The big eye is me. I'm the big eye. And I don't have to accept anybody or anything if I don't want to. That's the idea that Satan promotes. That's the thinking that Satan promotes, so he can take advantage of the many. Already convert to that thinking, he knows that he can take advantage of them. He knows that they belong to him. To farewell now in this freedom that we have, this world of freedom, that's what it is. America offers the greatest margin or the greatest amount of freedom to its citizens. But at the same time, America provides for intellectuals, high schools of higher learning, freedom of thought, freedom of mind, freedom of expression, so that the best human qualifications can be seen and people can have a choice whether they go to the way of the ignorant or the way of the unlearned, who don't respect anybody's thinking or anybody's mind, or whether they choose an intellectual and listen to that intellectual, or choose a fine institution of learning and go there and be educated. We have these choices. These choices that our special freedom gives us in America. So we do have choices. And no matter how much we criticize the conditions in our life, our neighborhood, and our homes, and how much we want to blame it on the establishment, the system, the fact is we do have choices. You are not badly situated in America because there's no way out for you. You are badly situated because you won't make free choices. Or if you make choices, you make the wrong choices. You choose to do nothing with your life, but let other influences manage your life for you. Song and dance, violence and sex, freaking off all your life until you're dead. Those are your choices. So we can't even blame Satan. No, we are told in Scripture that when Satan is blamed for what people have done, people did to make them go to hell, to bring them to hell, Satan's going to look at God and he's going to say, I didn't do that to them. They did that to themselves. I never force anybody to do anything. I only invite them and they come. God ain't going to excuse them. God going to say to hell, you and them both. Now, you didn't know that, did you? You didn't know the devil can be put in hell. You didn't know that, did you? Our religion tell us that in the end of the world, when God concludes matters, he's going to put Satan in the hellfire with all the sinners that deserve to go to hellfire. And you'd be surprised, the majority of sinners don't deserve to go to hellfire. The majority of sinners deserve to be excused because they didn't do it because they wanted, or because they had that desire in them, or because they had interest in it. They were victims of circumstance. And when the light comes on, they make a different choice. So they won't go to hell. Don't think of hell, everybody going to hell. I hear people say, oh, self-righteous people, you know. They think just because they married and never touched a girl before they married, that everybody that did going to hell. No, it's something much worse to touch than a girl. That'll get you to hell quicker. To fare well, we have to be situated well. And guidance comes to us, whether it's in the form of education, or in the form of religious language or teachings, guidance comes to us to help us better situate ourselves. And the best guidance is the guidance that God revealed to his servants, the prophets and the messengers. That's the best guidance for situating us. But we get help from education. Education can situate us for success in life so that we survive and prosper. But if we ignore it and don't give it any respect, we take our own self out of the race, and we eliminate our own self from the good life that God wants for all of us. The spiritual prescription is concerned with three modes of life, and it's true for all of these great religions. Although in our holy book it gives it this way. It says that there's a natural tendency in man's soul and in his life, whole life, to behave impetuously. That is, to behave without thinking, on impulse, to act on impulse, to act on a feeling. You feel something, just quickly act. Something get your attention, you quickly respond to it without questioning it, without examining it. This is the first mode of life in the soul of people. That's the first mode. Now, it's just a coincidence that I have on loafers today. I doubt if any of you all seen me in loafers before. I wear them sometimes. They're called loafers. And they got a little space, little place there for a penny. And we used to call them penny loafers. And some people would say, I criticize another person, well, I could buy him for 2 cents. Well, I'm wearing loafers today, you know. Only thing I'm missing is 2 shiny pennies. I wish I had them. 2 shiny pennies to put in my loafers. Well, that represents, they go, it's loafers go on your feet. So that represents that first level in the human soul, where the human soul forms in that mode, where it just reacts without giving hardly any thinking, just reacts. And that's the mode that a baby's in. Average baby's in that mode, right? They're in that mode. They're in the mode that says, this is good, this is bad. This is hot, this is cold. This hurts, this feels good. I like you, I hate you. Right? This is the baby mode. Now, would you believe that some of you all are 68 years old and still in that mode? And you with me just because I do something that you like. Oh, I like the way he cracked those jokes. He got humor. I'm going to see my leader today. Oh, he's the son of Elijah Muhammad. I love his father. Father's gone. I'm going to stay with the son. That's not enough, my friend. You should see my mind. You should see my thinking. You should see where I'm going with my thinking. And you'll love me more. And you'll value me higher. And you'll become men and women instead of little babies in the mold of an infant. But that mold is good, so the Quran says. Allah says that mold is good. No matter how grown we get, we're going to have to, at some times in our life, resort to that mold. God puts some questions before us sometimes. God puts some matters before us to concern ourselves with sometimes. And they are matters that we can't fully understand. But if God says to us, to an obedient soul, this is what I have prepared for you, that soul will never say, I can't handle that. That soul accepts it. And sometimes it is our baby mold that has to save us from our adult mode. Because the adult mode says, oh, I ain't accepting nothing my mind can't handle.
But the soul will resort to that baby mode, the infant mode. And the infant mode will say, whatever God says, I have to accept and I'm going to obey it. Won't use this rationale. Won't use this reasoning mind. But will just say, on faith, God wants it for me, I accept it. Saying a little child shall lead that way. Huh? If the leaders are adult leaders with all of their rational powers, all of their education and rational powers, if they don't have also in their makeup that instinct that makes sense there when the mind won't, they cannot lead us very long and cannot lead us very far. And a child shall lead. Praise be to Allah. But there's another mode, a higher mode as we get older and as we experience more with our thinking, with our curiosities and our hearts. It is the mode called Lawama. Nafs al-Lawama. This is the critical mode where man is not just accepting everything or anything and saying good or bad, hot or cold, hurtful or pleasant. No. Man wants to know why it's hurtful, why it's pleasant, why it's good, why it's bad. He wants logic to support what he accepts into his mind, that God created to be also a logical, a logic-seeking apparatus, a logic-seeking machinery. Huh? So he wants to understand these things, not just accept it good, bad, hot, cold, like that. So that's Nefsalawama. And this mode brings him to become critical of his own family life.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, I'll write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1708-798-6750. I'll write Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.